Good morning once again, everyone. We're very happy to have Jean Grenier here. And for our new members, Jean is a missionary that we support in Canada. We call him a missionary, but actually he's an in-country preacher, speaks French, and French-speaking Quebec. But he is our one missionary that comes every year. So he's on his yearly 7,000-mile trip that visits all of his supporting congregations and gives them a report of the work. So as is our tradition, and has been now, I don't know how long, 16, 17 years, we have the silver box on the table in the foyer, and that is for us to make a specific contribution to Jean on his trip. What we do is if you give cash, that cash goes to him today to help with his travel expenses. Checks will go through his sponsoring congregation and then get sent to him. I have to fly out this afternoon, but if you want to join for lunch, they have a table. We're going to take Jean very locally. He's a local kind of guy. He makes great chicken wings, by the way. We're going to go down to the Crescent Cafe for lunch. Elliot and Rick will be sponsoring that lunch today. Now, Jean has been working on... used to be an old garage, repair garage. Been working on that since 2003, 10 years. He's ready for it to be finished. He'd like to move on and begin preaching at it. And until just recently, has not been able to invite the public in because it wasn't approved. Well, now they've got the official blueprints, they've got the stamp, and now the building can simply be finished up. Now we need money and we need people. So some people have been coming on a continual basis to help finish that work. The elders have been talking about this, and we're very near to coming to a conclusion that we're going to use $10,000 in a mission fund. Now, that mission fund has been sitting around for probably close to 18 years. We've been looking for something to use it for. We're going to take $10,000 of that, and we're going to look for matching funds. So to get access to our $10,000, we've got to go out and find a matching $10,000. Now, that's going to give a very large amount that will help finish the chapel, finally, in Quebec. Elliot's going to be calling out and reaching out to his sponsoring congregations to see what matching funds we can get. But that's the plan, to give him a boost and allow this building now to be completed. So be thinking about that, praying for that effort. And at this time, John's going to bring our message this morning.
Thank you very much. I agree with you. If you want good chicken, come and visit. My dear brothers and sisters, I bring with me the gratitude of the congregations. I work with folk. Small congregations in Quebec, and they are just amazed about your assistance. And I'm trying to find my sermon. And let me do something while I talk. There is a matter of fact that what you do to us is just wonderful. Although you're not present over there, we are with you in spirit. And the congregation there just... would love to be, you know, closer to you to express their gratitude. But I will tell you something. The fact that you are behind us, it gives us a lot of energy and confidence that what we're doing it together. Today, in this lesson, I won't talk very much about the work. I talked a lot about it during the Bible class. And... you will see that in the newsletters and also in the our website. We will put most of the pictures. We started in 2005, by the way. I wanted to say that. It's not 2003. In 2005, we began the work into the building. But this morning, I want to talk about a subject that is very important to us all. This is the theme for the church in Quebec from today to the next November. Okay, we're working on a nice project, and I believe that this project is a very important asset in the work to spread the gospel, to help the people, you know, to hear the gospel. People over there in Quebec, you know, they heard a false religion for 500 years. They were Catholics, and they were very much controlled. They were tyrant. They were abusing people in so many ways that we hear about today. I think today they are paying the price of their bad mistakes they made. And one of the things they didn't do is that they did not express the grace of Christ. What was in Jesus' personality to make him so different than any man, than any leaders of his time, and even maybe to some extent of today? Jesus was so different. Is it not his gracious attitude that he had in anything he did, all his deeds? People, even his enemies, were amazed about his charismatic attitude. Remember when he went to Nazareth and he read this passage in Isaiah, and everybody were listening to him very carefully. It was the first time we see Jesus talking and to the crowd, and they were very amazed about the grace that was in him. And even his enemies there wanted to kill him afterward. They were amazed about that. There was something special in that man. In everything he did, his speech, all his words, his actions, his reactions, his miracles, even his judgments. Sometimes he was judging people. You know, the Pharisees were judged a couple of times, even the chiefs of the people. But everything was doing in perfect harmony with the law of God. You know, the Ten Commandments, the very rigid code. Everything that Jesus did was in perfect harmony with that law. And what I mean with that is this. You know, sometimes we become very legalistic in our behavior, but Jesus never became realistic. Whatsoever he did was perfect. And today I want to express a few thoughts about that. You know, I'm not perfect, me too, and I make mistakes, and I repent, and I try to do better. But I think we need to concentrate a lot of it on it over there and here if we want to attract people. And, you know, I'm very humble today because I see a big congregation before me. Mine is the women who are away. I'm very impressed about the number. Some of you don't know me at all. And I'm very glad to see you this morning. And I hope this lesson will help you to become a Christian. And if you're not, and if you're a Christian, to stay and to perform. This is in Luke 4:16-22, where we see that story in Nazareth. You know, the people of Nazareth were very rough people. They wanted to kill Jesus afterward. They didn't like what he said, but they all said the same thing. They were amazed about the grace was in his face, in his mouth, in his everything he was doing. We can and we must be animated by this same grace that was in Jesus if we want to attract the lost people to salvation. So I would propose this morning three things that I think that we all need to do to attract the people to Christ. You know, over there, this building, we want to attract the people. I remember once a brother said to me, Jean, you know, the Jehovah's Witness, they take about 10 days to build their building, and we're still working on it since 5 years. It's 3 years ago, he said it to me. And he said, you know, it's very impressive, isn't it? I said, yes, it's very impressive. But I said to him, I don't want to impress, I want to attract. I want to get their attention, and it works. But I tell you something, if they come and they don't see the grace of God inside, they saw nothing. You see, the most important to us is to bring them to the cross, to bring them to the graceful Savior who is Jesus. And I think the first thing that we need to do is to attract people. If we want to attract people, excuse me, my computer is not nice to me. Here we go. Okay, the first thing we need to do if we want to attract people To attract the lost people, we must grow in grace. We must grow in grace. Okay. Jesus was growing in perfect harmony with his age, his knowledge, and in grace. All together, he was growing, you know. We will grow in life, and We need to grow in, while we grow in life and in knowledge of the truth, we must also grow in grace. In other words, we must be better people, better Christians. Here is the text I want to share with you. Luke 2, 51 to 52. And he went, talking about Jesus' family and Jesus, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in his heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. When we grow in favor with God, we always grow in favor with man also. What I'm saying is this, okay? People are intelligent, okay? I can talk about the gospel in a way that people won't like it, and they might be right, you see? I can be rude to people. I can be legalistic with people. We can't do this with anything in the gospel because we are human, but it's not the way we must express God's grace. This is not the way Jesus was expressing God's grace. Do we grow in disgrace or in grace? For instance, do we grow in impatience, bad mood, bad temper? Are we increasing more in hatred, in jealousy, in envy? Or do we look more worldly, non-Christian, in our behavior and attitude? If it is so, we're not going toward Jesus. We are taking the way of Judas. You know, Judas took that way, and he never could repent afterward. And this is very important. You know, Judas was a disciple. He was baptized too. He was baptized for the right reason. But Judas, you know, became a demon. And there was no way to step back. And what we need to do is to go toward Jesus. Our spiritual insight must grow in grace, not in disgrace. We need to grow in grace in order to be more attracting to people in love, in patience, in peace, in joy, in self-control, in our relationship with our neighbor, and even with our enemies. The second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, 17 and 18, it says this: "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, beware lest you be carried away with the error of lawless men and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." You see, first thing, we need to grow. But on the right side, you know, with the right attitude. So in other words, do I look better or do I look worse? Secondly, to attract the lost people, we must have grace in our words. Jesus was not using the same wisdom than the spiritual leaders of his times. He had always grace in his words. Intelligent people could discern that Jesus was a man of God and even the Son of God. As a matter of fact, once the chiefs of the priests were sent to arrest Jesus. You remember that story, don't you? And I want to read that story. This is again in John 47, 43 to 47. And this is what it says. So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered them, "Are you led astray, you also?" I tell you, it's one of the most beautiful passages about Jesus. You know, these guys were there to arrest him, but they were suspended to his words. They were attracted by him. He was not like any man. You remember that when he died on the cross, the centurion, you know, hit his, I don't know what to call it here, but anyway, to express that he was so hurt to see that man dying, he said he was the Son of God. And I believe, you know, that we must be very careful the way we talk, okay? In Quebec, okay, the people in Quebec. Do you know that when they go to Mexico, I think, there is a saying there, they say, they call the Quebecers tabernacos. And I remember a brother asked it to me, he said, what does it mean, the tabernacos? I said, it means tabernacle, because the people of Quebec, they blaspheme a lot. And they call them over there the tabernacles, you see. And when, you know, somebody becomes a Christian, he brings the culture with him. And sometimes, you know, they don't realize it. And they talk like the world, you know. But I know we need to be patient. But we need to change our way to talk. You know, we don't talk like people from Sand Spring. We talk like Christians. You see, we have a new way to talk because we are trying to reach the wisdom of Christ. We are trying to give a testimony about Him. And it's very important the way we talk. The words that we are saying are very hurting sometimes. It can be like a sword in the heart, you know. We hurt more people with our words than anything else. Paul says in Galatians 4, 5 and 6, conduct yourself wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, gracious, like, you know, Jesus' words, seasoned with salt. I like it, you know. I like to cook, and you heard that this morning, and I want to tell you something amazing about salt. You never put a lot. You don't need to put too much, you know. You don't need to talk like a poet. This is what I mean. You know, you just put some salt, you know, grace and salt. You know, you take, you be careful and you wait what you say, you see. And this is very important. And sometimes, you know, these things happen and we hurt people in the world. We hurt people in the world. And that will happen. You know, it's even though you are Christian, it doesn't mean that you will never hurt anybody anymore. I remember that brother, when I baptized him, just before I baptized him, he said, you know, I'm so eager to be baptized, I want to be forgiven, and I want to have the Holy Spirit. And he had a problem with blasphemy. His blaspheme was baptism. In French, we say baptême, okay? And he was very, very light, you know, not very heavy. And when I baptized him, I did it very quickly. And as soon as he got out the baptism, he said, baptism. Well, he said, baptism. Baptême. So he blasphemed just afterward. To me, it was very funny to hear him because he said, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, just to say that, you know, these things will follow us, but I tell you something, we can overcome these kind of things. Have you ever apologized to someone that you hurt in the world? You know, if you don't, you know, you just tell him, you know, to be a Christian, you have to be perfect. And this is a big problem. You know, many people are not becoming Christians because they think they have to be perfect before to become a Christian. And this is a bad mistake we make in Quebec. You know, many people over there, they think that to be a Christian, you have to do everything right and perfectly. But I tell you, if we baptize a drunkard, we should expect that he might fall. Or a blasphemer, you see, or anybody else. But I tell you something, it's very important to understand that when we hurt people, we can confess them. That we hurt them and we are really sorry. And when we talk about Christianity, I tell you that this is Christianity, to confess our mistakes. And when we don't, you know, we put away people. We put away people. I believe what comes out of our mouth is very important. We really need to do anything inspired by the Word of God. We are in a new kingdom. And whatsoever we say, do you remember that, Jesus, what he said about that? He said that we will be judged by our words. So we need to be careful. I don't want to be judged. I want to be saved. The world does not have the same language than us because the world has not the same thought than us. That inspires us. In 1 John 3, 9 and 10, we read, no one born of God commits sin. For God's nature abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. He's talking here about living in sin, living in a bad way to communicate to others. If our words are worldly, careless, irrespectful, wild, how can we find the grace in the sight of the people and of God? People will say, they are not Christian, they are hypocrites. In the contrary, our words must be divine. Care, with respect. You know, we have a problem with the word love, you know. We are afraid of the word love. We don't mention it too much because we might look weak because we don't understand what is love. You know, love, I tell you, I've never seen a better synonym for the word love than the word respect. Respect. Do you respect people? Do you feel respected when people talk to you? You see, this is, to me, a good key to discern the true love. Okay, with respect and spirituality led by the spirit of the gospel. Do I express the spirit of the gospel? Do I express the spirit of the law? Am I so rigid? I might be too rigid sometimes. And this is very important. Although we are human, as I said, and we fall short of the glory of God, and in such situation we have to use our tongue to confess, as I said earlier, our mistakes. In Acts 2, from 41 to 47, you know, the new community, the new church. The church was starting in Acts 2. And they were gathering together, sharing the gospel, growing in the grace. But also we see in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And I tell you, one of the wonderful things over there about this project, we have found the favor of the people. The people are very friendly to us over there. And if you come, you would love to be there because they get along with the groups very, very, very friendly. And the Sojourners came 5 times until today. And they will come next year again. And I tell you, they love to come in this area. They became friendly to these people. And I think we have a great opportunity to communicate God's grace. Okay, and last, to attract the lost people, we must express grace toward one another. Okay, it's good to do good outside, and I think we must do that, but we must do it more inside, in the church. I tell you something, I've been hurt more times by brothers and sisters than people in the world. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't want to hurt anybody here. I don't want to discourage anybody here. But what I'm saying is, you know, since God chose my brothers and my sisters, I didn't choose them. When I was in the world, you know, I was choosing friends the way I was. I wanted them, you see. I wanted them to fit with my personal things that I love and the thing that I was doing wrong, you see. But into the church, God chose these brothers to me. And I'll tell you just one story. I remember when I went to Montreal. I lived in Montreal almost a year and a half. And there was a brother there, and, you know, he got on my nerves. And in the world, I would never be a friend of such a guy. But I was a Christian. And I knew my mind was not good. So I said, Lord, I'm going to be patient. And I won't think about it. I won't meditate about it. I will just be patient. And I tell you, it didn't take a long time. He became my best friend. And I saw in him so many wonders of God. Because God is in us. He's in each of us. And when we don't see that in a brother, it's because we didn't look deeply enough. And we're too much superficial, maybe. And it's a bad thing, you know, to be superficial because we cannot see the truth. The truth is inside. It's not outside. We see also in Acts that the church grew in a social peace because they were expressing grace toward one another, but by the spirit of the gospel. This is in Acts 9:31. Look at that together. So the church throughout all the Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up and walking into the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it was multiplied. Acts 9:31. Making a lot of effort to be our best to our brothers and sisters will attract the people. Okay, wonderful thing here today. You came here today to worship God, to give you, to give the best of you. You know, I would be, I would love to see that once, if it was possible, to have an angel at each door and to ask everybody, are you ready to come and worship? Are you ready to come and see your brothers and sisters who were forgiven like you? You see, and we forget all the time, too much often, that these brothers and sisters are sinners who come here to ask forgiveness, maybe for the sins that they offended them, when they offended us. And it's very important that we learn to forgive. It's honorable. It's very uplifting. And it's one of the most gracious message in Solomon's writings in Proverbs. You know, he says someone who forgives someone is very high, very mature. We will never grow if we don't forgive one another. I have a text here I want to share with you. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Okay, one of the things that we wait for the most is confession. If he confess to me, you know, if he acknowledges, you know, what he did to me, I will forgive. But as long as he don't, I won't. And I tell you, this is a bad, bad move and bad attitude. We're not growing in grace when we do that. What we must do is to do, like he says here, if we want to complain about somebody, is just have mercy on him. Express grace of God toward him. And it might be enough to break his heart. And if it's not enough, one day it will be enough. God will remind him that. Because God wants us to express to one another the grace. We're not here to be judged. We're here to be saved and to save one another, to encourage one another to grow in grace. And this is the message I wanted to bring before I left. I remember Brother Elliot said to us, he gave us a nice message, and I got some inspiration about it. He said, you know, when people come, we need to be enthusiastic and we need to welcome them. And it's very important. This helped a lot to introduce them to the gospel and to have more people. There is a matter of fact, and this is true. And you know, we must be gracious people. And people will say, this is a Christian. I can't tell this guy is a Christian. Although I don't know, I'm sure he is a Christian. Because he talks like a Christian. He expresses, he forgives like a Christian. And when we do that, I tell you, we won a big war. Because Satan wants to accuse everybody. He doesn't want anybody here to be forgiven. He wants everybody to get in trouble. He wants to destroy the church. He wants that we express disgrace instead of grace to the people of the world. Grace is the beauty. You know, the beauty outside. You know, some people are very gracious, and we see, what a grace. But what about the grace inside of each of us? This is the grace that take out our wrinkles. And as we get older, we get younger and more beautiful. Because this beauty is eternal, and it charms anybody. Everybody that we meet, you see, today, you will go to Walmart and you will see people. You will be at a crossroad and maybe you won't care about them. Maybe I won't also. But you know what? I think this is a mistake. Some people have done it with Jesus. You know? And when we walk and we meet, we go across people, they must see something special in us. Also, they must see that we are really growing. We are really improving. You know, well, I remember Jean, some people say about me when I became a Christian, what they said, well, I don't believe that he became a Christian. This guy was too worldly. And but, you know, today when they see me preaching, they don't believe it again, but it's the truth, you know. And there was a lot of change in my life because, you know, I really, I think the charm of the grace of God convinced me to change and to improve while I still a lot of improvement to do. The church is the light of the world. You know, one of the things that happens in your country and in my country, we see a big decrease of the values, but the church is still the light. And if we don't give up, we will want. We are the light, we are the salt of the earth. And what does it mean? It means that we must give light. We must feed the people with grace. When I come to the U.S., after this long, long traveling, I said about 7,000 miles, I tell you, I get back home and I'm very tired, physically. It makes me very tired, you know, I don't know why exactly, but traveling makes me tired. Some people are like me, I'm sure, here. And when I get home, I say to my wife, I say, you know, Anne, I hope one day I won't need to do that anymore. And she says to me the same thing every time. She said, darling, Jean, you need to go there. Because when you come back from that trip, you look like Moses after he saw God. Okay? What I'm saying is, thank you for the light you give me. When I see you, when I talk to you, when I know from you that you support us, you are behind us, that gives a lot of light that I can share with the brethren over there. Thank you very much. You are a wonderful church. Don't give up. Don't take anything for granted. And if you want to learn more about this, come to Quebec. You will see that we don't have much. And I tell you, it's a good lesson. Thank you very much for your attention. And you want me to make the invitation? Okay. I will propose to you something today. You might not be a member of this church. You might not be, a Christian yet. Maybe you need to know about it, to know more about the truth. You have a great opportunity to share the gospel. These people here are sharing the gospel even in Quebec, Canada, and other countries in the world. And, you know, it's very encouraging to have these brothers and sisters who stand for the truth in the Bible according to the scriptures. Maybe one of you is a member and probably pretty much astray. Or maybe, almost straight. Well, I encourage you to come and restore your life or become a Christian when we stand and sing that song of invitation. Thank you.
One can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus.